Obedience, says Alice, appears to be the undisputed supreme principle of religious education as well. And, you know, this has been observed over and over and over, but never a strategic response, I've noticed, to C.L.R. James' point that passive obedience is precisely the basis of class society. He says capitalism, but I think it's time we started naming the problem as class so that we can actually devise strategies that are effective. So obedience is the supreme principle of religious education as well. The word appears, says Alice, again and again in the Psalms and always in connection with the danger of loss of love if the sin of disobedience should be committed. Whoever finds this surprising quote from the poisoned pedagogue fails to recognize the nature of the child and his need to submit to someone stronger than himself. Well, isn't that a convenient belief? The Bible, says Alice, is also cited to discourage the expression of natural maternal feelings, which are described as doting. Quote, is it not doting, says our poisoned pedagogue, when the baby is coddled and pampered in every way from infancy, instead of accustoming the baby from the very first day of his life on earth to discipline and regularity in the intake of nourishment, and thereby laying the groundwork for moderation, patience, and human happiness? Doting lets itself be guided by the infant's crying. Oh, heavens, heavens, we don't need that, right? I remember hearing a lovely story about earth-connected peoples, and this was, in this instance, a visitor to Nepal was shocked because it was considered abusive to let a child cry. Places where children are loved and respected are in powers, crosshairs. We must get our world back, toot sweet, and stop this ongoing assault on our humanness. Let's don't let it degrade further. Let's don't lose any more of our most precious brothers and sisters who love their babies. We need their model. We need their example. We need their knowledge, advice, stories. Continuing with our poisoned pedagogue, a doting love cannot be severe, cannot refuse anything, cannot say no for the child's own good. It can only say yes to the child's detriment. It allows itself to be dominated by a blind desire to be kind, as if this were a natural instinct. Oh, boy, does this guy, has he been messed over as a child, huh? It permits when it should forbid, is lenient when it should punish, is indulgent when it should be strict. A doting love lacks any clear idea of the goal of education. It is short-sighted. It wants to do right by the child, but chooses the wrong methods. It is led astray by the emotions of the moment instead of being guided by composure and reflection. It allows itself to be misled by the child instead of leading him. It does not have any calm and genuine power of resistance and allows itself to be tyrannized by the child's contradictions, by his willfulness and defiance, or even by the pleas, flattery, and tears of the young tyrant. It is the opposite of true love, which does not shrink from punishment. The Bible says, he who loveth his son chastises him often with the rod, that he may be his joy when he grows up. And pamper your child, and he will be a terror for you. Indulge him, and he will bring you grief. And I comment on this. We must consider that what is preserved and promulgated by power, by means of its institutions established for that purpose, serves power. Continuing, sometimes children raised dotingly are guilty of gross misbehavior toward their parents. And I comment always, children raised with violence in some way express that violence towards self or others. Alice comments on this. Parents fear this misbehavior so much that on occasion they feel thoroughly justified in using any means to prevent it. And I doubted that when I first read it, that that was the real motive, which I believe that there's an element of fear of loss of status, loss of place within their community, of similar such lost souls, souls stripped of substance when they were babes. However, infants, however, in retrospect, sitting back and pondering it a bit, I see her point. And maybe we'll talk more about that in a later show. And for the purpose, continues Alice, they have a rich palette of possibilities to choose from. Prominent among them is the method of withdrawing love, which can take many forms. This is something no child can risk. And I comment seriously, survival depends for the child in such a home as this on securing even the most false, the most hypocritically paraded love. Love. And I've seen babies. I've seen infants manipulated with that love, the child manipulating that love, and it definitely breaks your heart to see little children turned into puppets. I am looking forward to when we get to the sections in which Alice gives us some hope here, explains how to undo the damage done by poisonous pedagogy. And I think we're going to have to, I was hoping to, so because it would have brought a kind of completion, I guess, to this notion of the family as the microcosm of the totalitarian regime. It would have created a kind of symmetry, I guess, to the show to have gotten to that part where she talks about the subjection of a child to the parent, setting that child up to support horrors that a state commits out of fear of not being loved, quote unquote, by it. But we're going to have to, it's an ongoing, it's a deep problem, and we'll continue with our analysis of that connection next week. I want to thank everybody for hanging in there and their patience with my perhaps less than upbeat self today. But I hope you know that I am so grateful you're there. I have no words to adequately express the love I feel. So until next week, peace.